Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, your loyal host, who is here tonight to bring you the truly important news, the news that brings us together as human beings as we discuss the things we love, like movies and TV and music and comedy and all the great things that bring us together. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Hope you had a great day wherever you are listening from in Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. It is, it's raining again, Conrad, in Green Bay, and I don't know what to do about that. It's kind of out of my control, but,
You know what? I would say after all that hot weather last week, it does feel really nice out there, though.
Doesn't feel too bad, does it? Did you have a good weekend?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Well, like, I didn't see Twisters like I wanted to, but
what happened?
I don't know. So the last time I went, I was kind of disappointed in theater because it doesn't have the new seating, you know?
Oh, right.
So I just was like, do I go back to it or not? I don't know. I'm going to find a new theater, I think. But other than that, I watch some Olympics.
You don't like the new seating in the theater, or you do?
No, I do. Theater that I went to doesn't have it.
I gotcha.
They have the old seating that just has the cup holders on each side, you know, and just.
Yeah.
Yeah, basic.
That shouldn't be too tough to find, right?
I mean, most theaters do have an upgraded seating now, but okay. I'm surprised that one doesn't because it's Marcus.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you got to see Twisters, though, soon.
The clock is ticking, buddy. I know. Maybe I'll just wait till it comes out for home, you know?
Yeah. What did you think about the Olympics? I have to tell you, I'm struggling to get interested in the Olympics. And I'll be honest. Some people on Facebook are losing their minds over, you know, the boxer and the Last Supper thing. I can't even take it. It's like, who are the snowflakes here? It's like these people are looking. I can't. It honestly, it takes the fun out of the Olympics. The Olympics is supposed to unite us.
Yep.
Like Nightlight does.
Exactly.
It's just a bummer. And my wife and my folks both love it. They're into it. And I'll watch like the track stuff. I don't know. I'm not really into the diving.
I will get into anything that's on.
Ah, that's great. That's a good way.
I got really locked into fencing the other day.
Wow. you were dying for something to watch.
You know, I was cleaning my apartment, had that on the background, and it just got so interesting.
Wow, good for you. That's
it takes skill to do that.
When you're that easily entertained, you will always have something to watch.
Well, any sport. I'll watch any sport there is.
Yeah, fencing's tough. It's a skill, no question, like diving is.
Yeah.
And I just don't find it that thrilling to watch. I love my country, obviously. I hope they do well. What really gets me, I love the track and field events. I love the gymnastics. I think what gymnasts do is truly remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping eight times in the air. That's insane.
Yeah.
But some of the events, I got to be honest, I can't, looking for a Three is Company episode or something to watch.
Have you watched the basketball yet?
That's another one. No.
That's true entertainment right there.
What, are we blowing everybody out?
We just have the best squad. It's like Dream Team 2, basically,
yeah,
that we
see,
have.
That's not, but is that really fun to watch?
It is. At least for me.
Okay.
I love
like
watching
to see
it.
People dominate then. Right?
It is great.
Yeah.
Because the last couple of years we didn't win a gold medal. So this is LeBron's last year on the Olympics team.
Oh,
probably Stephen Curry's last, a lot of people's last time on the Olympic squad, I think. So it's fun to see him one last time.
You are a true patriot, I will say that. I applaud you for your cheering of the Olympics. We have another week, right? It's like a few more days.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to watch something. This is a big, we got a fun show tonight. Tom Ryan is here. A truly very funny comedian is here at 7:35. Tom and I have gone, I've known Tom probably 30 years, and we'll kind of talk for a while, then not talk. So I reached out to him again because he's just a perfect guy to be on this show. He has a very deadpan, he's a brilliant joke writer and has a terrific deadpan delivery. I may have mentioned this last week, but one of my favorite jokes of Tom's is, I have very fair skin. I once got a really bad sunburn standing next to a guy with a bright future. Brilliant joke. And, you know, Tom will be here at 7:35. We're going to tease his appearance with a little bit of his Letterman set from, a few years ago. So Tom will be here at 7:35. And then, this is exciting too, in the second hour, we are going to rock. We are not going to let anyone have a case of the Mondays because Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother will be here. Eric Ratzak and Adam Krause will be here from Ask Your Mother. They were here about 3 months ago and just crushed. They're so much fun. Eric is like, you know what he reminds me of? Amelie from 7,000 Apart. Yeah. He sits in the chair and sings, but he's like, he's just like, man, he's just passionate and he's bringing it from a chair. I love that. And Adam's a great guitar player. At least that's what he was playing when he was here before. I think he plays other instruments too, but those guys are a lot of fun. They'll be here at 8:20 tonight. So we got a little comedy, a little music. What else? Where do I even start? It is National Underwear Day, folks. Yep. And I am really excited about that because contrary to popular opinion, I wear underwear quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
I do.
That's a good thing to know.
I'm telling you. I think people should know. And I think I want to put this out there too. Like everybody, you know, like you'll hear women on like rom-coms or guys when they're talking about girls. This is a chance for women and men to tell us what kind of underwear they like on the opposite sex. If you're a girl, what kind of underwear do you like on guys? You like your guy in boxers, tighty whities. I can't even say that without boxers, tighty whities, long underwear, boxer briefs. What do you like on your guy? And fellas, what do you like on your girl? Don't get too weird, but you know, I mean, do you like those big underpants from the 50s? Bikini? There's all kinds of different underwear, folks. It's a celebration of undergarments. So tonight we are talking about unmentionables. That is our question. Jump right in, folks, and let us know what you like. And it could be on your partner. It could be on the opposite sex. It could be on the same sex. If you go that way, that's totally fine too. Let us know what you like. It's underwear talk on Nightlight. It's about time. You know how long I've been waiting for underwear, National Underwear Day, just so I could talk about undergarments on this show?
It's marked on your calendar, right?
Brutal. Yeah, it is. Sherry checks in and says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Sherry. Great to have you with us tonight. Sherry sends the nice emojis, too. That just makes you feel warm emojis, inside. Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you, Sherry. So let us know what kind of underwear you like. It is National Underwear Day. And Conrad, why don't we start things off here? What do you like, you know? What do you like on a girl?
Like the intro says to this segment, you know, the edible undies.
Edible undies. Because you always have a snack, just in case. If you're out hiking and you get lost, honey, I'm sorry. I need your underpants. I brought a canteen. And I got you those underpants, just in case such an occasion arose.
You know what? I really like the watermelon flavor, too. So it's watermelon.
I gotta be honest. I'm all hat, no cattle. I don't even know what edible undies are. I just thought it sounded like a good gift. So I don't know, and I can't. It seems like an inconvenience.
I feel like it gets sticky.
It would be weird. It's like, we know what you're getting at. Just go for it. You don't need this weird middleman, the edible underwear. It's just wrong. But I'll say I'll say this. I'm going to be diplomatic. I don't care what kind of underwear a woman wears. It's not really up to me. But what I'm going to respond to most is the woman. Sure, everybody could say, I like bikini underwear, G-string, thong. Conrad, help me out here.
Granny panties.
But, you know, they're all great. But it depends on the style and how a girl rocks them, shall we say. So that's what I'll say. I think a lot of women like boxers on men. I split the difference. I go boxer brief.
Okay.
I don't like boxers. It's kind of pointless to me. Like, well, why do you wear underwear? Just to have a buffer there? I get that maybe, but I don't need underwear if it's boxers. Tidy whitey is just too, those are useless after the age of 12.
Yes.
Honestly. And so that's where I'm at. And I do long underwear. I do think in the winter, I like a nice pair of long underwear just for those extra cold days. That's fun too. So let us know, folks. It's we got to get to the bottom of this. How do you like the opposite sex or the same sex? What underwear do you like your partner to wear? It's National Underwear Day, and it's about damn time, as far as I'm concerned. Is this any other, are there any other days today we're celebrating, Conrad? Is that
National Dash Cam Day?
What is that?
You have a cam on your dash?
I don't. Police do, so they can arrest shirtless villains.
Sometimes I think it's smart to have one. Like, if you're in a city that's heavily, you're going in traffic every single day, heavy traffic, if you crash one day, you have proof of what actually happened, you know?
But do regular people have dash cams?
Some do. I know that a lot of Uber and Lyft drivers have.
Oh, them. I guess I could see that, yeah.
They have one inside and outside.
I see. That sounds like the people that used to have scanners in their homes because they want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
My buddy Dan's mom had one. She would wake him up in the middle of the night. Danny, there's a fire. Let's go. He'd have to drive his mom to see what the commotion was. I love that. Eric checks in on the stream. Eric Rasek. Hey, Eric, he says, see you soon. You're damn right, buddy. Can't wait for those guys to get here. They were so fun. I wonder what, do you remember what song they sang? Because we should have them do something different.
I believe they they did some covers, I believe.
Right.
So I guess we'll have to see.
I'll pick their brain when they come in. But we got a lot of stuff to cover here. Sometimes there's so much going on. I don't know. We got Princess Leia's bikini being raffled off. That was kind of the catalyst for the underwear question, wasn't it?
Yep.
Game of Thrones spinoffs. I watched a Mel Gibson movie last night I was conflicted about. But I'll dig into that a little bit too. All right. We got a lot going on. Tom Ryan, very funny comedian, is here at 7:35. Couple of the guys from Ask Your Mother, Eric and Adam, are here at 8:20. They're going to rock the place like they always do. And we're talking about underwear. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. A teardrop starts, and it breaks my heart. When a teardrop falls, I want to cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. So, here's a weird thing. I've been desperately trying to get back into shape. I put on a few pounds since I've been doing radio because you sit a lot. So, I'm trying to get back in shape. This is what happened to you. I went to my parents last night. I saw a picture of myself from like 5 years ago. I was like, oh man, I look good there. And then I realized I was trying to lose weight then. Like, that's 5 years ago. And it's like, hey, I look pretty good. It only means I've gotten fatter. You know what I mean? Like, you always look back and it's like, oh yeah, that's the look. That's when I was looking good. No. I remember trying that keto diet then, you know. Kind of a cruel joke. Pictures.
It is.
It's terrible. So tonight's question is, what kind of underwear do you like on the opposite sex? Conrad likes edible underwear just in case of emergency.
Yep.
I can go with a number of different things. I guess small underwear is better, right?
Yeah.
You like the big underpants on the opposite sex?
I don't know about the granny panties.
I've never heard that phrase before, granny panties.
You never? Wow.
Is that from the Krieger household? Is that how you guys used to?
No, I feel like that's, I've seen that in a bunch of movies, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What if you have a grandma who goes for the thong? That could be trouble.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. I don't know. So we have, Tom Ryan is coming up at 7:35. I clipped a little bit of his comedy earlier. This is from a set of his on Letterman that he did several years ago. This is our guest at 7:30, Tom Ryan.
So I had to call my credit card company, and I got that menu. And part of the menu is, if you're calling from a rotary phone, stay on the line, and someone will be with you shortly. You know what it should say? If you're calling from a rotary phone, push-button phones are available at Walmart for $12. Why don't you get in your 73 Gremlin? Make a left on that dirt road and join us in the new fast-paced world of push-button technology.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's Tom Ryan. He'll be here at 7:35. We have, so Risky Business dropped on this day in, I want to say 1984.
Three.
83. Okay. Yep. We have a clip from Risky Business. I just want to say last night I've been watching The Boys at the urging of my son, and Jimmy Cuska has been on the show a few times to talk about The Boys. He's a big fan. I know you started it, right, Conrad?
Yes.
But it wasn't for you. Okay. I really love the first season. It is getting so weird and graphic. Like, I finished season three last night. And the amount of sex and violence, but in such a gratuitous manner, it takes you out of it. It's like, good Lord. And maybe it's supposed to be kind of comic booky, but the writing is good. Like, it's a good show. But anyway, I just was not in the mood for The Boys last night and needed a boys break. So I saw this new movie, Boneyard, available on demand, starring Mel Gibson. I'm troubled about Mel Gibson. He says or has said some really terrible things. He's a bit of a religious nut. He has taken shots at Jewish people every once in a while. He'll get drunk and say something stupid. But he still is capable of making a good movie. So, and I don't want to totally cancel someone. I was willing to give the movie a watch. I looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes. It got like in the 40s. And most critics, I don't think, like Mel Gibson. So I thought, all right, well, if Mel Gibson makes a movie and it gets in the 40s, that's probably like a movie that's in the 60s if someone sane is one of the lead actors. So I rolled the dice. It was not a good movie. The 40s is right where it should have been. It wasn't awful, but it was just like, oh, man, it was just horribly written. The directing was bad. But it was based on a true story about a serial killer. The serial killer stuff is really hot right now. So I gave it a shot, called The Boneyard. I can't recommend it. And I don't want to be one of those people, Conrad. I don't want to be like, you know, so when you see like really, really right-wing stuff, like Bruce Springsteen will say something, oh, he was terrible anyway. He hasn't been good since Born to Run. I'll never buy another. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I know there's a lot of conservative Hollywood people, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis. I still watch their movies because I'm not voting based on what they say. So I was trying not to be that guy. So I did rent the Mel Gibson movie, but it was not a good movie. And Mel Gibson stuff, it looks like they shot it all in like 2 days. He's just at a conference table, mostly in every scene. It's like, all right, bring in Mel's new shirt. He changes his shirt. It's the next day at the conference table talking about what he's found out about the serial killer. So I cannot recommend it. I'll probably go back to The Boys tonight. But Risky Business came out today, right, Conrad?
Yes.
What year? 1983?
1983, okay. Yep.
We have a clip. Let's listen, because this is one of my favorite movies. When I was in high school, watching Risky Business, it was like, it was kind of a cool film because I wasn't sure I was supposed to be seeing some of it. Like, it was kind of, there was a lot of sex in it. There was a lot of really cool scenes, though, too. And I love the premise of it. Like, he just wants to get into Princeton. And he cuts some corners to do so while his parents are out of town. It's Risky Business. Get it, Conrad?
I do.
Okay. Have you seen the film?
I actually haven't seen it, no.
Oh, it's definitely worth a rent. All right, let's hear a clip from Risky Business.
We don't work for you anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Right.
Then who you work for, huh? Who? You don't work for me.
Who? You don't work for me.
Maybe we work for Joel now.
She's only kid.
I hope so. Look, Joel, you look like a smart kid. So I'm going to tell you something which I'm sure you'll understand. Now, you're having fun now, right? Right, Joel? Time of your life in a sluggish economy. Never, ever with another man's livelihood. Now, if you're smart, like I hope you are, you're not going to make me come back here.
That's Joe Pantoliano playing the pimp, also known as Guido the Killer Pimp. The one classic scene where Joel has his dad's Porsche out in downtown Chicago. They get in a high-speed chase. And I can never remember the name of the actor. He also played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds. But he says, I have a trig midterm tomorrow, and I'm being chased by Guido the Killer Pimp. great movie, Risky Business. One of my favorites from the 80s. And you know what? I got to be honest. This question is not generating the interest I thought it would, Conrad. So you're welcome just to tell us what kind of underwear you're wearing right now, too. You don't have to go tell us what the other side is wearing or what you prefer. Maybe that's too weird. Maybe people feel strange telling us. I thought it was kind of harmless. I think the word underpants is harmless. It makes it much more less about like sex and naughty things. It's just underpants. So, as always do, though, you could chime in on anything we're talking about. Risky Business, Mel Gibson's craziness, whatever you want. We've got Tom Ryan coming up next on Nightlight, and I can't wait. He's so funny and such a great guy. Eric and Adam are here from Ask Your Mother. They'll be along at 8:20. We got a lot of fun still coming on Nightlight tonight. It's a Monday edition, and that's a fun day edition. This is Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network. You bring up little dynamite. I'm gonna pick up little girl. Every woman on our house tonight. Make that highway run. You don't have to call me lieutenant. I don't wanna be your son. The only lover I'm ever gonna need is some sweet little girl's tongue.
Missed exciting entertainment with Pete? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwab podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, CivicMedia.us, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, here's your host, Pete Schwab.
I see this right. Game of Thrones is set to have 7 spinoffs.
Yes, you are seeing that correct.
That's not including the one that's on now.
So it includes animated as well as live action ones.
Animated?
Yeah.
What's the new, have you seen the new one?
I've seen like 2 episodes. I don't know. I just haven't got into it like I did the other Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
What I heard is good. So I gotta give it another watch.
Yeah, for sure. And then you got other stuff here. Ben Affleck is going to play Hulk Hogan.
I just thought that was funny.
Does Hulk Hogan's life need to be cataloged? Like, do we need to, is it a biopic?
I don't. All I saw is the title.
Gawker?
I'm like, what does that even mean?
Well, Hulk Hogan liked to gawk. He liked to go to the mall and people watch. And his tidy whities. It all comes back to underwear tonight. Hold on. Oh, Tom says he's ready. Are we calling Tom?
Yeah, I will.
All right, let's try that. I thought he was coming on stream. Either way, that's good. Tom Ryan is on the way, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the other thing. All right, Ben Affleck, he's got a lot going on right now. He's getting divorced. And now this new thing, Suge Knight, who I don't know how reliable of a source he is, but he says that Ben Affleck, the timing of the divorce with J-Lo is because Ben Affleck, there are, when the authorities raided Sean Combs' mansions in Miami and L.A., they found illicit videos of J-Lo doing things that Suge Knight says Ben Affleck would not be able to unsee. So this guy supposedly does not like the spotlight. And if that happened, that's nothing that Ben Affleck did. It's something that J-Lo did, if it's even true. This is Suge Knight, who I think is in jail. So who knows if it's true or not? He could just try, you know, be trying to hurt J-Lo. But it's so weird. But they've been in the news like a ridiculous amount lately. with this divorce and selling their $65 million home and having to downsize to a $20 million home. We've all been there. But they just cannot get out of the news. And supposedly, J-Lo loves that. She loves the spotlight. She's always tweeting and Instagramming and all this kind of stuff. Ben Affleck supposedly does not like being the center of attention, even though he is a Hollywood movie star. I find that hard to believe, but whatever. He doesn't like the spotlight under those circumstances. I get it. But that is strange. And Sean Combs just sounds like a really, just a bad guy. And if this is true, Ben Affleck, this is how he is dealing with his midlife crisis. He's going through a divorce with J-Lo. Supposedly, he reaches out to his other ex, also named Jennifer, who was helping him through the divorce. And then, according to TMZ, she had just had enough. She's like, I'm sorry. You got to deal with this. They have like three kids together. And the last time people saw Ben Affleck out in public, at least according to TMZ, he was rocking that faux hawk, and they compared him to Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. So he's going to be looking for his next Jennifer, looking like Travis Bickle. I don't know if that's a good look or not. I don't know if chicks dig that. Who knows? But crazy stuff. And they are in the headlines every single day. We have a great show tomorrow night, folks. This is kind of funny, too. Tom Lennon is on the show tomorrow night. He plays Jim Dangle on Reno 911. He'll be here. And we put out our social media thing about the shows this week, the social media blast, post, whatever you want to call it. And Eric Rathsack from Ask Your Mother says, oh, I love Tom Lennon. Apparently, he was a big fan of The State. And I didn't even know about The State until after Reno 911 had been on for like 2 or 3 years. But The State in the 90s was like the cutting edge sketch show. It was on MTV. It was good stuff. Conrad, how are we doing with Tom? Oh, okay. Tom is, we are waiting momentarily. Sherry says on the stream, she says, I can say what I don't like. This is regarding our question of the night, underwear. We're wondering what you like on the opposite sex. Do you like guys in boxers, tighty whities? What do you like? Guys, what do you like girls in? If Conrad would call them granny panties, boxers. Some girls wear boxers, the bikini style. What do you like? That's our question tonight. You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and let us know. Sherry says, I can say what I don't like. Yeah, that's more. And you're welcome to do that, Sherry. Sherry says, people that have their bellies hang over their bikini bottoms and you can't even see the bottoms, whether a suit on a beach or whatever. Yeah, I could see that, Sherry. That's pretty disturbing. Did you see Sherry's post there, Conrad? She doesn't like any kind of underwear where the belly hangs over the underwear so you can't tell what kind of underwear it is. I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a fetish site for that people love that. Oh, yeah, the belly hangs over the underwear. That gets my motor running.
There's a site for anything.
Yeah, exactly. Stacy Sue on the stream says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Stacy. Great to have you with us tonight. And also we have Steady Eddie. This is my favorite new Nightlight listener nickname, Steady Eddie from the 608. Let me tell you something, brother. Hulk Hogan movie will be a biopic. Ouch. Oh, God, I am sorry I read that. I just complimented his name, and then he drops a joke like that. All right, so let's pivot here because I'm excited about our next guest. I've known this guy probably 30 years. As I mentioned earlier when we played a clip of his Letterman set, I'm in and out of touch with Tom over the years, but he is truly one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite people based on the discussions we've had and one of my favorite comedians. He embodies what a stand-up comedian is like in terms of he's not, and there's nothing wrong with people who are high energy performers and dance around and yell and all that kind of stuff. There's a place for that. But Tom is just an outstanding joke writer and a great deliverer of the jokes that he writes. And he's truly a great stand-up. And he joins us now on Nightlight for the first time, Tom Ryan. Hey. Tom, how are you?
Pete, long time.
It is great to see you.
Did as good as I could with the lighting and all that. I mean, it's been years.
Listen.
What a very nice introduction you gave.
Well, I didn't, I could have gone on and on, but I'm laughing because I watched a lot of your stand-up today.
Oh, nice.
And you said I live in a 600 square foot apartment in New York, and you said it's 300 by two.
So, 300 by two.
That made me laugh, but you look like you're doing okay there because I could see you on the stream. You got some depth. Okay.
Here's how okay I'm doing. I'm not at my own apartment right now.
Oh.
I am cat sitting. That's my side gig, is I'm a cat sitter.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, comedy is, comedy. I was big in the 90s. Big in the 90s and 2000s. Now it's cat sitting.
Hey, listen, whatever it takes.
No, exactly. Now, here's the thing. I am right now cat sitting for Todd Barry's cat.
Oh, my gosh.
So I get on the subway, grab my laptop, come down here, feed the cat, 10 or 11 in the morning, hang out with my laptop, maybe go to the library, do something during the day. I just fed the cat. I'll do your podcast. Back home I go. And Todd Barry's cat's famous because he did his last Showtime, or not show, he did it on YouTube, but it got him, so many hits. And the last 5 minutes is nothing but him joking about his cat with a slideshow.
Oh, wow.
So that's just fed. So that cat might show up here at some point. But anyway, in my own place, yes, 600 square foot studio apartment. It's 300 by two. And it was a horrible place to live until I put in a dartboard. That's the new tag. So thank you for watching that.
First of all, well done to you on the use of our library system. I don't hear that people go to the library much. I think the bibliography is a lost art. So good for you, Tom. That's fantastic.
The New York Public Library at the corner of 42nd Street and Fifth Avenue is a building that takes up an entire block in Midtown Manhattan. Now, I tell people I have an office in Midtown. They go, no way. I go, yeah, it's great. It's a writing room. You can go in there. There can be 100 people in there using their laptop, doing whatever. It is the best environment. And I kick myself for not taking advantage of it often enough. I don't do it that often. But when I do, I go, why do I not do this all the time?
It's great. I've written, before I had a laptop, Tom, I would go into a library with a legal pad and write my scripts out longhand. I mean, there's something about the atmosphere there that's better than a coffee shop or whatever. You know, it's great.
It's magical.
Yeah.
And they have lists in the lobby. They have a list and samples of the books that have been written in the reading room at the New York Public Library.
Wow.
And it's impressive.
That's cool.
It's like I said, it's a magical place. So that's how, and I'm trying to, I'm doing what I can. You know how it is. We got into this thinking, work hard for 5 to 10 years. The rest of it takes care of itself. You have to reinvent every few years. And so that's what I'm in the process of doing. I'm finally pulling the ripcord and I'm going to try to get in with the cruise ships.
Oh, okay.
I had to do corporate gigs, stuff like that. But I'm trying to get back to being full time.
Good for you. Tom, it's interesting you say Todd Barry, because I remember Todd when I did Caroline's Comedy Hour in like 1994. I was there with my buddy Jimmy Pardo. And Pardo and I did separate episodes, as I remember, and Todd Barry might have been on his. But I thought, this guy is hilarious. And we stood and talked to Todd at the bar for a few minutes.
Cool.
It's so funny that you guys are friends because you both just are that quintessential stand-up. Great joke writers, great delivery, not a lot of bells and whistles, just really solid stand-up comedy. So it does not surprise me at all that you guys are friends. That's great.
We started together in Florida. I saw Todd Barry his second time ever on stage. I knew, I go, this guy is going to be great. And he, right now, the reason I'm down here cat sitting for a few days, back and forth feeding the cat, he did a Tonight Show about 2 months ago where he did an entire set about his cat. So they got the idea. Let's send him out to the Pasadena Cat Show convention and just have him wander around the convention, roll tape. So they're currently, he just finished it, and they're putting together a thing that's going to air on the Tonight Show within, a couple weeks. But you know how quick Todd is with his ad libs and all that. It'll be a great segment, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You know? Let's talk about that. I didn't know he was a Florida guy, but you started in West Palm Beach. I was introduced to you. I had worked with Dan Whitney, who became Larry the Cable Guy. And Whitney was great to me. He introduced me to people in Milwaukee. He got me into Florida, into your home club, without even a tape. I mean, he was really
great.
It was very fun. Yeah, always indebted. And I've kept in touch with him for a long time, but haven't talked to him in a while. But he introduced me to you, and I realized what a nice little scene that was down in West Palm Beach. You guys had a nice little crop of comics. Was that a good place to start?
It was great. I had just moved down from Philadelphia. I quit my job, moved down from Philadelphia, and the job I moved down for, it fell through. They sold the company, so I was high and dry, and I got another day job, and then took a doorman job at the Comedy Corner. And I saw Cable Guy and Greg Schwemm, a local
Greg
Chicago.
Greg Schwemm, yes.
Who's back in Chicago now. I saw those two do an amateur night for a radio station. I thought, oh, man, there's a comedy scene here. I'm going to get into it. And right at that time, the Comedy Corner opened, and I applied for a job as a doorman, and they accepted me. And it was the best job I ever had because it ended up being an incredible club. I used to drive over to Dan Whitney's place, knock on his door. He was still living with his parents. Hi, Mrs. Whitney. Hi, Mr. Whitney. Is Dan home? And we would drive down to Miami and do 5 minutes on a Tuesday night open mic.
Oh, my gosh.
And then
gosh.
A few months after that, the Comedy Corner started their open mic. It was Todd Barry, Dennis Regan, Larry the Cable Guy, Carrot Top, Phil Tagg.
Hey, Tom, hold that thought. Let's pick up right there. We're going to do a quick thing here. Tom Ryan is here, ladies and gentlemen, the very funny Tom Ryan, as seen on David Letterman. We'll pick up more with Tom after this. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Carry on. Sherry checks in on the stream and says, I love my library. In fact, everywhere I've lived, I always go to the library. Good for you, Sherry. And that does not surprise me at all, knowing what I know about you, Sherry. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is really exciting. Tom Ryan is here tonight. He's truly one of my favorite comedians and one of the best joke writers I've ever met. He is here tonight. Oh, he's been on David Letterman. He's had his own Dry Bar comedy special. Yep. And we're talking about the scene where he started in West Palm Beach with people like Todd Barry, Larry the Cable Guy, Greg Schwemm. Tom, Greg Schwemm has been on this show a couple times. He and I became friends in Chicago, and I remember him telling, I had totally forgotten that he started in West Palm as well, though.
Yes, and he's one of my closest friends. We talk all the time, and he's great. He's doing really well.
Yeah.
Love Chicago.
Who are your, I'm not surprised at all that you ended up in New York, too. You have that New York, how is it going there? Do you like doing stand-up better than there? Go ahead.
I love it here. It's funny. When I was in L.A., I went out. I remember going to the premiere of your Green Bay movie, and that was a very exciting.
Funny.
The last time I saw you. Yeah, it was great. But L.A., I loved L.A.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't getting enough stage time out there, and I had some friends that say, hey, there's a bunch of stage time in New York. I'm originally from Philadelphia, always loved New York, and back in 2006, I decided to move here. I don't know how to silence notifications, by the way.
That's okay.
I decided to move here, and the main club where I work is the comic strip on the Upper East Side.
Okay.
That's my main room here in New York, and I work a few other places, but I reconnected with some comics, and one of the coolest things I got to do is one of my really close friends who I met out in LA is Gary Goldman, who's doing really well.
Funny guy.
Well, he's amazing. One of the highlights of my life and career is a couple years ago, Gary and his wife, they say, hey, come on, we have an extra ticket to the Yankees game. Do you want to go? I say, yeah, I want to go. And on the walk up from the subway to the Yankees game, he says, hey, have you ever been to Carnegie Hall? I said, no, I've never been there. He goes, would you like to open for me at Carnegie Hall?
Oh,
he had just offered. And he had a million people to choose from. And I'm honored to this day that I got to open for him at Carnegie Hall. Couldn't have gone better. And it was, if I quit comedy today, that was one of the most fun nights I've ever had in comedy.
Just
hanging
imagine.
Out afterwards, people came in from out of town, that kind of, you know, a lot of people came up from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The show couldn't have gone better, and I'll never forget it. And my intro that went over really well was, I was done, the pressure was off. I said, all right, folks, are you ready? This next gentleman is a very good friend of mine. I've known him since the early 2000s when we both used to live in L.A., and I remember back then I said to him, I guarantee you that I will get to perform at Carnegie Hall before you ever do. And I beat him by 20 minutes. So that did really well. And that was just a fun night. So that's, I love living here.
That's great. Gary Goldman, money, for those of you listening, he does a great bit. I highly recommend Googling it about how they named the state, how they abbreviated the states.
Yeah.
One of the best bits I've ever seen in comedy. Very funny. When did he start, Tom?
He started probably, let me think, because I think he's about on a 10-year path behind me. He probably started about 1998, 1997 maybe, up in Boston.
Yeah. God, Boston has great comedians.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Has come out of there. And yeah, he's doing, I worked with him in Chicago about 6 months ago at the Vic Theater there, which was also a thrill to work.
Oh, beautiful.
With.
Yeah. I saw Seinfeld there. And
fly in, fly out, one of those deals, you know?
Yeah. Do you ever get to Wisconsin? Do you work any of the rooms here, Tom?
I do not.
Okay.
I would love to.
Yeah, you totally should.
And if you know of any places in Chicago, I'd love to visit Chicago again and work there too, even at like a weekend room, and I'll feature, I'll do whatever.
Yeah. So I talked about your style a little bit. My guest, by the way, is Tom Ryan. He's a very funny comedian. You can check him out. Just Google Tom Ryan, David Letterman, Dry Bar Special. His stuff is out there. He's great. You have a great, like I talked about, deadpan kind of, not deadpan, yeah. Just you're very laid back. Who are your influences?
Conversational.
Yeah, there you go.
The influences. The two first comics that I used to sit down and study, I had it on these albums on vinyl. And I'll say, well, Carlin, of course, that's a given for everybody almost. Okay. Stephen Wright, Woody Allen. I used to sit down and listen to those albums on vinyl and try to reverse engineer. How did they do this? How did they have this final result? What started? How did that start? What was the germ of the idea? Then Dennis Miller, when that Off-White album came out, and then I used to just watch people on TV and tape off of TV, Tonight Show spots and whatnot.
Yeah.
But then, of course, and I got to open for him many times over the years, Brian Regan, who I think is not just one of the current greats, I think he's one of the greats of all time.
I agree.
I put him there in the way upper echelon of stand-up.
Same.
Those kind of people like Dana Gould was always one of my favorites. Emo.
Oh yeah, great, another great joke writer. Yeah,
and it's like, how did he do that? That's what whenever I watch Emo, I just go, how did he figure that out? That calculus equation that he figured out, he did it.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, the one about his he was out walking. I was out walking my dog, you know, and the dog gets hit by a car, and the guy panics and gives him. He apologizes and he gives him $20. He goes, "I'm so sorry, I killed your dog. Here's $20 to help ease your pain." And Emo goes, "I took the $20, and on that day, an entrepreneur was born."
My favorite Emo one too is he was walking home from school, and there was some carpenters working on the roof, and a guy was calling me, he was pounding nails on the roof, and he called me a paranoid little weasel in Morse code. Tom, can you hang through us, hang with us through a quick news break?
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic. Tom Ryan is here, and I'm going to share a memory with you about Woody Allen tapes you made for me, Tom, that I just remembered now. He's here. He's going to hang out through the news, the award-winning news brought to you here at Civic Media. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We will be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.